Monday it is, drive time it is. I'm Shafiq Morton. Assalamu alaikum. Coming up, Ramaphosa at the Financial Times Africa Summit. World Food Week kicks off. Are the Kurds betrayed in Syria? And after five, Turkey continues military operations in northern Syria. What's going on? Stay tuned.
Drive time 91.3. Always on the cutting edge.
This is the Cape Drive Time. Welcome to the show. 072-238-0712. Get it to the WhatsApp line. 47913 if you still do the SMS thing. President Cyril Ramaphosa is in London attending the Financial Times Africa Summit. The gathering, which brings businesses, investors and decision makers together, is critical for the United Kingdom, particularly as Brexit looms. Online is head of the School of Economics and Business Sciences at Wits University, Professor Yanni Rousseau. Professor Rousseau, welcome.
Good afternoon, Shafiq, and good afternoon to the listeners.
All right, Financial Times Africa Summit, the president is there. Isn't this equally as critical for South Africa as it might be for the United Kingdom?
You're quite right in your assessment. This is a critical summit for South Africa. This is where President Ramaphosa must position South Africa as the gateway for investment into Southern Africa.
Do you think he is in a position to be able to deliver something? Do you think he's going to succeed in pressing home this message?
Well, it's difficult to say at the moment. Mr. Ramaphosa definitely has a difficult hand to play, but he's very skilled in these negotiations. He's very skilled in the international arena of investment. So I have confidence that he will be able to pull this one off, but it is, as I've said, a difficult hand to play. Lots of things not going well in South Africa.
Although some people are pessimistically, like yourself, saying lots of good things not happening in South Africa, there is a little bit of cautious optimism, because we've seen eThekwini Mayor, for example, asset forfeiture unit visiting her home. We've seen President Jacob Zuma being slapped down by the courts. He has to face charges. So slowly but surely, there is good news that's filtering through as well.
Yes, indeed, on the prosecution front. And it is my sense that we are seeing some early indications of economic upswing in South Africa. You ask me what I look at. I look at fuel sales. It seems to me that fuel sales might be ticking up. I look at vehicles on the road in Gauteng. It seems to me that we are seeing more vehicles on the road in Gauteng. And these I regard as early indicators of increased economic activity. So, yes, very early, but I get the sense that things are picking up in South Africa, that the general mood is turning, that the general mood is beginning to improve.
And of course, to sort of flip over the coin and look at the United Kingdom or Britain with Brexit looming, I would say at the moment that Britain has got much more of a troubled crystal ball in South Africa right now, because it seems like their whole political scenario is completely confused, which obviously is going to have economic ramifications if they don't sort things out soon.
Yeah, Shafiq, it is becoming increasingly clear that Mr. Boris Johnson's idea of a hard no-deal Brexit at the end of October is really not achievable in terms of the Irish Republic Northern Ireland border situation. So it seems to me that there will at least be a next general election before we have any finality on Brexit. The Brexit matter is not as simple as it looks, and it will really impact very negatively on the British economy.
Obviously, if it affects negatively on the British economy, it also means that exporters also might get stuck in the mix. How exactly could Brexit, for example, affect an exporter to Britain like South Africa? A lot of our fruit goes there.
Yes, but a bilateral deal between South Africa and some other SADC countries in Britain had already been signed to take care of exports to Britain in the event of Brexit. So South Africa has taken some precautionary steps, has done some preliminary work to make continued exports to Britain possible. So we do not exactly understand what the full impact will be, but we've not been caught flat-footed on this one. Some preparatory work has been done.
No, that's certainly encouraging to hear. Then there's also another matter. There are rumors in the wind that Eskom, or a plan is going to be announced for Eskom. There are going to be some moves. You might get a CEO. And there's also been indications that renewable alternative energy is going to come up very strongly on the radar. How will that help Cyril Ramaphosa's cause?
Well, if there's a clear plan to turn Eskom around, and Eskom is no longer the big drain on the fiscus it is at the moment, it will create space for the government to focus on other priorities. But I can only hope that Eskom will not be the only state-owned enterprise to get attention. I hope that the government will finally take the decision to rid itself of South African Airways. We really don't need a national carrier. At the same time, the government should also get rid of the NEL. The NEL is really not mission critical to South Africa's economic success.
Yeah, all of this is interesting because the CEO of South African Airways, or the interim one at least, has also indicated over the weekend that he felt that this bailout from government should be the last for South African Airways, because he feels in the next 18 months they can slowly turn the machine around.
So I think we've had many promises from SAA. I do not believe these promises. I've said 5 years ago the government should give SAA away, as it will not fly. SAA at the moment is nothing but the vanity project of ANC politicians in parliament. And we can no longer afford any vanity projects in South Africa. Just get rid of SAA. It's a drain on the fiscus.
And Professor Rousseau, let's get back to the Financial Times Africa Summit. What do you think President Cyril Ramaphosa will be asking for? It's not that he's asking for things, but what do you think he's going to be driving to?
President Ramaphosa made the very important point that Africa does not need aid. Africa needs investment. This is a different change in theme from a continent requiring aid in an attempt to alleviate poverty to a continent requiring investment, so that the economies can grow, that jobs can be found for people, so that Africa can grow out of poverty. It's a very important change, a difference in the approach towards Africa's growth challenges.
Do you think other SADC countries will be listening to this? If you look at Zimbabwe, for example, which is yet again an economic basket case.
Yeah, the Zimbabwean government is, of course, its own worst enemy. Didn't listen to good advice, as governments often do not listen to good advice. But if we can turn the South African economy around, get the South African economy growing, all the other countries in the SADC region will benefit from such economic growth, given the fact that South Africa accounts for nearly two-thirds of the SADC GDP.
Professor Yanni Rousseau, Head School of Economics and Business Sciences, Wits University. Enjoy the road.
Thank you, and a nice afternoon to you and your listeners.